Morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. It's always an absolute privilege to just share some things that God puts on your heart, isn't it? And nice to be here. Nice to see you all. And I just, first of all, just pray, Lord, that you would have your way in the words that I speak today, Father, that they would go out and be received in the way that you intend, and that your goodness will come through whatever people receive, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, so this morning, I'm going to be speaking, well, what I've entitled this morning is Spoken Word. Does anyone know what, or do lots of people know what I mean by spoken word? I think we actually had someone come and do a bit of spoken word poetry maybe last year, yeah? So spoken word is a type of poetry, but spoken poetry. So it's very much focused on the rhythm and the wordplay, maybe rhyming, close links to maybe some rap, some kinds of spoken word poetry, not all of it, but I'm quite, I love it. I love the play on words, I love the cleverness of the language that is used, and I love the rhythm. So I don't know, did anyone spend any time at Big Church Day Out in the spoken word tent? Joe's putting her hand up, I know you did, yeah. There was a tent in Big Church Day Out, and it was all about spoken word, and it was brilliant. I did sit in there for a few of the performances, and they had what they called a bless off, which I'd never heard of, but it came from what is called like rap battles. So imagine you've got some really good spoken word artists or rap artists, and they face each other and have a battle of words. So as you can imagine, it can get quite messy. Maybe the language is a little bit fruity, and probably the person who comes off worse is probably feeling a little bit kind of small, because it's a lot about insults, actually. So obviously at Big Church Day Out, they thought, this is great. We can do this, but maybe we shouldn't quite, you know, have it as a battle like that. So they had a bless-off, and they had the same idea. It's a competition, two people showing their skills in wordplay against each other, but not against each other. So instead of putting each other down and telling each other how bad and rubbish they were, they blessed each other. And there was one in particular that just, you know when the hairs on the back of your neck go up and you kind of go, oh my goodness, I'm seeing something special here. I'm actually seeing something of God here. There was, and it's not just because of her name. That's not just the only reason I like her. There was someone called Poetess Jess. Good name, it's a good name. And she spoke over another spoken word artist, another spoken word poet, and it was so powerful and so beautiful. And what we witnessed was somebody speaking into somebody's life, speaking, prophesying into somebody's life, speaking good things, speaking what God is saying to somebody's into somebody's life. Absolute words of encouragement, words of faith, words of life. And it was so special. It's making me tingle now remembering it. It was just like, wow, this is a special moment. And it just really touched me that, you know, what we can use our words for, how we can use our words. And actually, then 2 weeks ago, Alistair came up and spoke about words. And I was like, wow, I think kind of God's got something to say here. So, you know, rather than going, right, I better start again with what I'm going to say, you know, do you know what? God sometimes has themes, and he's saying, I want to speak on this, and I want to speak again in a slightly different way. So that's what today is about. So our spoken word. Alistair very much, he looked at James and thinking about how we use our words, how we control what we say, the impact that we can have negatively on somebody else's life. And he shared that scripture about neither can a salt spring produce fresh water, and about how, you know, the words that come out of our mouth shouldn't be, on the one hand, a curse over somebody, on the other, praising God and saying wonderful things. So thinking about those negative words, and we'll touch on that, but also thinking about words and the importance and power of words and the positive words that we can speak in our own lives, in other people's lives, in our situations, in the future. I am going to give you four things to take away today, and I kind of toyed with giving them to you at the beginning, and then I thought, actually, that means I don't need to say any more than four words. So I thought I'll leave it till the end. So there'll be four things to take away from today. So first of all, just thinking about how our words have power. Words have power. We all probably are aware, we all probably know the impact of negative words spoken over somebody's life over and over and over, and the negative impact that can have on emotional health, mental health, relationships, every aspect. We know that it affects people's mood. We know in depression that both when you're depressed, those negative words seem to come out very, very easily, and also that those negative words make you more depressed. We know that there are patterns that are caused in our neural connections when we have repeated negativity spoken to us over in our childhood and going into our adulthood. But the opposite, words can inspire, they can build up, they can encourage, they can bring hope. They have huge power. They bring fruit. That scripture talking about fresh or salty water, water produces things. You either, if it's fresh water, it will produce fertile soil. It'll help that soil to produce things. And our words can produce fruit, either good fruit or bad fruit. So to build up or to destroy, to bring hope or to bring fear, love or hate, life or death. There was a very famous speech, which I'm sure we've all heard so many times, by Martin Luther King. Do you know it was 60 years in August since he said these words? 60 years. I haven't got the words down. He said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character." He spoke a vision of racial justice 60 years ago, and still those words have resounding power. What if he didn't share them? What if he had the dream and just kept that to himself, kept it in his head? Or even he might have written the words. Would it have had the same power as the day that he stood up in front of 250,000 people, something like that, and spoke those words, "I have a dream"? Our words can breathe life and inspire and motivate and challenge and bring action. Has the dream fully been fulfilled? Not yet. Not yet. But the power of them is still around 60 years on, and we'll go on. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." That's a strong claim, isn't it? That's a really strong claim, that what we say has the power of life and death. to build up or to destroy. And you might think, is this just, you know, positive thinking? Well, if I kind of just say nice things, say positive things, it kind of comes from, is it from, you know, therapy or, you know, say positive things instead of negative things. Well, yeah, it's good for us. We know it's good for us to say positive things. But actually, I believe there's more power than even what we're talking about, the kind of the power of our words for our soul, for our well-being. There's even more power in our words, and we'll come back to that. When God speaks, things happen. Words aren't just words. We know that in life, we know that words have fruit. But when we see God speak, when he said, "Let there be light," suddenly there was light. When he spoke, the chaos came into order. When he spoke, life came. Life became. Life was created. All of creation came from his words. And whether you believe the literal Genesis and that it happened in 7 days, or whether you believe it wasn't quite as literal as that, I believe God spoke and creation came about. When Jesus spoke, he said to the storm, "Be still." And what happened? The storm was still. The storms in the natural world, the storms of nature, were still and were obedient, and action happened because he spoke it out. Storms in the spiritual were stilled at Jesus' command. People were healed, people were freed, demons fled at just a word. That is the power of God's word. Not just positive thinking, not just it's good for the soul. Things happen. In Luke 4, verse 18 to 19, Jesus spoke referencing Isaiah. So Isaiah was around 700 years before Jesus, and he had this word, he had this prophecy. And 700 years later, Jesus, on earth as an adult, referenced this, and he spoke it out. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because he's saying, the Spirit of God, I'm here, and the Spirit of God is upon me for a purpose. And what's that purpose? He's just back a bit. He has anointed me to proclaim. He's anointed me to speak out. He's anointed me to announce. And what was he announcing? The next slide, thank you. He announced, he proclaimed good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to declare the Lord's favour. But when Jesus speaks, remember, these aren't just words. He came to proclaim it, because when he speaks, when God speaks, it means action. So the point when he came and proclaimed that, he's saying, this is now coming to pass. This is coming into being. Because I speak it, it's coming into being. And that's what people were seeing. Jesus, it talks about Jesus is the word. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's wishes. Jesus is the coming to pass of what God says should be. So Jesus came as a human to earth to proclaim and to live out and to fulfill the fullness of God's promises. God's word is active. It's alive. We call it the living Bible. His word comes to pass. It comes, it is fulfilled. And that's what we saw exactly through what Jesus did. Going back to Isaiah, in verse 11, it says, "My word that goes forth from my mouth," this is God speaking, "my word that goes forth from my mouth will not come back to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So those words that maybe God spoke over your life, things that you know he said to you many years ago, weeks ago, days ago, they will come to pass. It can take time. It can take time. Isaiah saw things 700 years ahead of time. Let's hope it's not quite as long as that in our lives. But, you know, there are things that God's spoken over our lives, and we might not see the fruit of it, or we might not see the fullness of it, but he promises, if I spoke it, it will come to pass. It will not come back to me void. What about our words then? Have we got the same power in our words as what God's got? I'd say that we have. God gave us authority. Jesus, when he passed, he kind of passed the baton. He said, "I'm the firstborn of many, but I'm going to give you my spirit, and you're going to do what I do and greater." So if Jesus spoke words and we saw God's will come to pass, then haven't we got that authority as well? But what that means is that actually there are consequences to our words. So what we speak out has action, has a result, has a consequence. So if we get into habits or mindsets where we're speaking destructive words over ourselves or over our situation or those that we love or, you know, whatever it is that we're seeing, there's a power in that that sometimes I think we forget. We can speak a blessing or we can speak a curse, and we can kind of sometimes minimize what that means. But actually, if we really believe that Jesus said, "You've got the same spirit in me and you as I have in me," then actually we have to be mindful of what we use our words for. So we have a choice. Whose words are we going to speak out? Whose line is it anyway? I've just realized there's a typo in that. Apologies. Sorry, I'm terrible for typos, and I've just realized I've spelt it wrong, so sorry. Whose line is it anyway? I don't know. Does anyone remember that great show? Yeah, that I actually watched some clips of it this week because I kind of thought, oh, I'm going to put that in. Whose line is it anyway? Brilliant comedy show. But yeah, whose line is it that we are speaking? We have a choice, because sometimes we speak the words of little old me, full of fear and full of doubt and full of our smallness. You know, who is mankind that God is mindful of him? And, you know, we can speak out of that small human, that small humanity, and our fear and our doubt. And like the Israelites, when God told them to go and take this land, you've got this amazing land and it's full of milk and honey and richness and wealth, and it's going to be yours to have. And they went in and kind of scouted out and came back and said, "Yeah, it is full of milk and full of honey. But it's also really full of massive men who are kind of much bigger than us, and we are just like grasshoppers." I kind of find it quite funny they actually use that in their words. We're like grasshoppers. We can't possibly take this land. We're so inadequate, yeah? And we can speak those words of smallness and inadequacy and fear. Or we can speak the words of God and say, "Hang on, there's a different view." We can speak other people's words. What are other people saying of you or about you or about the situation or about those people around you. Sometimes we take on other people's words and speak those out. Is it the words of the enemy? We don't often talk about the negative spiritual side of things, the devil, the demonic forces, but the devil whispers lies and discouragement and doubt and failure and temptations in the hope that you will both believe it, but also speak it out and live it out. Because I don't think he's got any authority over us as believers. I think he lost his authority over us the day we said, you know what, I'm a child of God. So he can't speak anything of power over you once you are in God's camp. But he can get you to speak it over yourself. And he can get you to speak it over your life and your situation and your future. And he knows that there's power in that. The other thing he does is do anything to close your mouth. He'll do anything to discourage you from speaking God's word and what God says. Interestingly, Jesus, before he went and said that scripture in, where was it? I forgot where it was. The scripture about I've come to, I'm proclaiming. It was, he went and spoke those words out just after he left the time in the wilderness when he was tempted. The devil tried to divert him from what he was here to do, which was to speak God's truth and see that come into reality. So the choice is our own words, other people's, the enemy's words, or God's words. God's intention has always been a partnership so that we've got freedom to be creative, to make things, to do things, and to kind of go, oh, I've got this great idea, I'm going to, you know, do this great thing. And he's like, yeah, that's brilliant. It was always about a partnership connected and sourced from the same spirit, from him, with the same heart as his, and speaking out life and his will and his freedom and his hope and his wholeness. That's what he's always wanted us to do, to speak out and bring on earth the authority he's given us on earth, to bring on earth what God wants to do here as it is in heaven. So it might be that you're looking at your life or your situation or a person or yourself and you kind of think, do you know what? This feels hopeless. But he speaks into that. We've got the scripture back in Ezekiel 37, where he says, he shows Ezekiel, who's a prophet, he says, right, I'm showing you this vision, and it's representative of the situation of Israel. And it doesn't, you can't see that very clearly, but it doesn't look very hopeful. It was a valley of dry bones, dried out in the sun, bleached white, and he actually said, oh, what do you see here? It says, I think we've got the scripture up. Oh, actually, it was a bit before. So he said, he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. And he said, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was quite sensible. He didn't go, absolutely not, this is hopeless, which some of us might kind of say this is a hopeless situation. He actually said, Lord, what do you say? What a good answer. What a good answer. And maybe that's what we should do more of. This is what I'm seeing, but what do you say, God? Because I'll say that. I'll crib your answer. And God said to him, right, speak to these bones. I want you to speak to these bones. I'm giving you the authority to speak to these bones and say to them, dry bones, Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Have we got the next bit as well, or is it just that bit? Just that, yeah. So, and does anyone know what happened next? Does anyone know the song? Oh, so it has got the next bit. Ah, does anyone know what happened next? Yes. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And when I was prophesying, there was a noise. We should be singing this. Does anyone know the song? Them bones. Dry bones. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, speak to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they might live. So I said what he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. A vast army. I love that bit. A vast army. So they weren't just stood there kind of going, oh, I haven't seen you for a while. It was a vast army. What seems like a hopeless situation, God says, I want you to speak my will. I want you to speak my words into this situation because I can bring life from what seems to be death. So, let's have a look. What do we need to do? We need to listen. Listen up. We've got a God who speaks still in different ways, and that's a whole new talk. We've got a God who speaks. What is he saying to you? What is he asking you to speak into? Jesus said, I only do or only say what the Father does and what the Father says. What is he saying? Listen to what he says about who you are. Not the words that says you're small and insignificant. All those other words that are bringing you and keeping you out of the fullness of what God's got for you. Don't speak those. Say, what do you say of me? He's saying, you're precious. You're special. You're individual. There's no one like you. What is he saying about the situation that you're in that seems hopeless, difficult, stressful? What's he saying about it? What's he saying about who he is in your life right now? Is he saying, I love that scripture, I am a banner over you. What banner is he? I'm a banner of love over you? Is he a banner of hope over you? Is he a banner of refreshing over you? He has the word for this moment in your life, exactly who he is for your need right now. Listen to what he said. So listen up. Spend time in his presence. Spend time asking, what are you saying to me? And then when you hear what he has to say to your situation, yourself, those giants in your life, those storms in your life, the next slide says we have to speak up. Don't sit there and just hear it. We've got to speak it out. We could have that dream that Martin Luther King had, and if he didn't speak it out, there isn't the power in it. Speak up. We are commissioned by God to speak. Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth to speak, to proclaim, to announce God's truth and pave the way for the rest of us to have that same authority. So we need to be careful what we speak because we have that power, but we also need to be courageous in what we speak. So we need to speak up, speak Jesus, speak to the giants, speak to our doubts, our fears, speak to our identity, speak to our future, speak to the storms in our lives, the natural ones, the spiritual ones. So four things I said to take away. So those four things are power of the spoken word. There is power. Don't forget the power in what you speak. Think about whose line you're speaking. Listen up and speak up. And we're going to just go straight. There's going to be a bit of a clip that we're going to play, which is called by Charlotte Gamble, called Speak to the Storm. So while this plays, just listen to it. See what God says to you this week. See what God's words are to you. And you know what? Write them down. Write them down and start speaking them over the next few weeks or months. Start speaking them out over your life. And then we're going to go straight into worship if we have time. So thank you.
The wind blew and the waves grew. The storm threw some into panic. They allowed fear to speak and lost sight of the fight. Others, they couldn't see a way out and so began to entertain doubt. Yet there was one. There was one that was asleep, asleep in the storm. It did its best to disturb him, but he slept. Woken by those who had let fear take a hold, Jesus spoke. To the storm, he said, be still. To the chaos, he spoke calm. To the fearful, he spoke faith. And to the dark, he brought light. Jesus spoke, and the storm surrendered. You have the same power to bring order, and you have the words to advance and take on the warfare. Don't allow your voice to be silenced by the storm. Wake up, worship, declare his goodness, sing of his faithfulness, speak his peace and wage war with the words of life. The greatest miracles can happen in the storm. The miracles of our awakening to the power that is so often dormant within. Miracles happen when we speak to the storm, when we answer back to its threat with boldness and trust. Miracles are found when the word is spoken out loud, drowning out the lies with the declaration of truth. The miracle is in your mouth. The storm cannot withstand the weapon of worship.